Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
I think we're seeing a different way of ETFs being launched.
The real kicker was governance, selling a private data. They really let down their customers repeatedly.
Drew, thanks for joining me this week.
Thanks, Nate.
Okay, so look, we still don't have a Bitcoin ETF. Of course, issuers have been trying since 2013, no luck. And so back in, what was it, early 2018, several issuers launched what I guess you could say is the next best thing, blockchain ETFs. And if you remember, there was a lot of initial hoopla surrounding these. It was right around the Inside ETFs conference. I always remember there being a lot of buzz around this. But since then, it's been pretty quiet. And I was looking recently, these caught my attention because the performance of really two of these ETFs in particular has been absolutely stellar this year. And we can get into that in a moment. But I guess to start, do you agree these blockchain ETFs have sort of faded into the background, or is that just me?
No, I think you're right. In 2018, in January, as you said, we had two or three of the blockchain ETFs come out, BLOK from Amplify and BLCN. They both attracted $100 million in assets very quickly, but since then, not so much. In fact, they both are sitting around $100 million in assets, and I think part of it had to do with the relationship with Bitcoin. Bitcoin started to flame out in terms of price. It had moved away from the headlines. Bitcoin ETFs had been rejected repeatedly by the SEC. So you're right, it did fade away. But the technology is certainly there, and it is the backbone of Bitcoin. And frankly, I don't think most people, including myself, really quite understand blockchain. And it's just simply a digital ledger that is distributed through computers, and it's supposed to be a way to be hack-free, a way that you can't cheat the system. And again, this is sort of the backbone of how Bitcoin is distributed, sold, and bought.
But it is amazing. You're right. These really shot out of the gate and did gather some assets pretty quickly. But since then, it's been slow going. I do think another potential, I don't know if you want to call it issue here, is that perhaps these don't provide pure direct exposure to blockchain, which is very hard to do, right? This is a new space. And if you look at the top holdings in these ETFs, there are a number of companies where blockchain is probably a very small part of their overall business. And so I think some people question that pure play aspect. But putting that aside, let's talk about the four blockchain ETFs and the performance this year. I'll just hand this over to you. Do you want to walk through these? And then I can certainly jump in.
Sure. And to your point about there not being a pure play, keep in mind the SEC ordered that none of these ETFs could use the word blockchain in the name of their ETFs.
That's right.
And so what we have is basically tech stocks. And that might be one reason why three of the four are doing so well, because the tech sector overall has done very well. But they are very different. For instance, BLOK from Amplify, the Amplify Transformational Data Sharing ETF, as you can see, these are very wordy ways to say blockchain. It's actually actively managed, and that is the only one that is actively managed of the four. And it selects, obviously, picks its stocks, but it's more of an equal weighted ETF. The highest weighting is around 4.5%, and the top 10 holdings only represent 30-40% of the overall package. So it is different. It has different holdings than the other ETFs. And again, you're with the discretion of an active manager, and it's done well. It hasn't done as well as BLCN, which is Reality Shares NASDAQ Next Gen Economy ETF. And this is an index-based strategy. and again, the breakdown is more of people that are companies that have really embraced Bitcoin. For instance, the top holding at 15% is Overstock, which accepts Bitcoin for transactions. I think is one of the few retailers that does. Also on there is Domo AG, which is Mercedes, which I do believe also takes Bitcoin to purchase autos. But you have a very different makeup than you do on BLOCK, which is really more of the back end side of blockchain, the chip makers, the designers, whereas with BLCN, it's a little different in the fact that it's more of how companies are using Bitcoin for their business straight up. And the third one is COIN, Innovation Shares, Next Gen Protocol. ETFs. And the twist here is that it uses artificial intelligence to pick its stocks. And it is very tech-heavy, falling into names like Amazon, Visa, and Tencent. But it also has a broad array of other companies such as Maverick, UPS, FedEx, Sprint, Dish. So it really is a mix of bigger companies, but not necessarily the type of company you would think immediately with blockchain or Bitcoin. And then finally, the last one is First Trust Index Innovated Transaction and Process ETF, LEGR. And this one also goes to an index-based strategy, but it, again, looks at what they call active enablers, firms that are more of the firms that sell the axes to the miners, if you will. So it includes a lot of IBM, Microsoft, and NVIDIA. It has really been the laggard of the four. I think it's only up about 2% for the year. But as you can see, looking under the hood is very important here, not just in what stocks there are, but how these stocks are being selected.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ledger being up 1%, 2%, the First Trust blockchain ETF. I pulled a performance yesterday, so just for some context, the Reality Shares, NASDAQ Next Gen Economy ETF, BLCN, that's up about 44% year-to-date. The Amplify Transformational Data Sharing ETF, about 31%. And then COIN, the Innovation Shares, about 17%. And for some context there, the S&P is up, what, about 6%, 7% year-to-date. So on two of those ETFs, I mean, significant outperformance. And we should mention there are some other ETFs that, while they're maybe not marketed as blockchain ETFs, they do have some exposure. So a couple that come to mind, Goldman Sachs has this Finance Reimagined ETF, GFIN. I know that has some blockchain exposure. Certainly the ARK Invest lineup of ETFs, they have a couple of ETFs that have some blockchain exposure, and those are doing pretty well. But you can see, again, the performance, especially in BLCN and BLOK, has been remarkable this year.
And I think the other thing, too, is we haven't seen an adoption of blockchain throughout the corporate world. Like, maybe we thought in 2018 we'd see a little bit quicker adoption. But we'll see. Now that we're Bitcoin is now back in the headlines, it has been going up along with gold, as we'll talk about, I guess, in a little bit. So it may start surfacing back into the headlines. And obviously, Bitcoin does attract attention to blockchain because people start wondering, you know, what is Bitcoin? How does it work? And at the end of the day, it is the blockchain technology.
And do you think that is the biggest driver of these ETFs? Because you mentioned blockchain having some potential use cases outside of crypto and Bitcoin. But, you know, I've mentioned this in the past. I think one way to think about blockchain ETFs is sort of as a pick and axe play for crypto, right? It's like gold miner ETFs for, mm-hmm. for gold, though definitely not as pure play. Do you think crypto is the biggest driver here?
Absolutely, because it brings the attention. And the other thing, blockchain hasn't brought attention to itself. We did see some companies adopt blockchain with headlines in 2017, 2018, but you really haven't heard much about that anymore. We do have some blockchain popping up in the ETF world. I believe Vanguard is going to adopt it for some of its accounting, but as an accepted way that companies are using it really isn't defined yet. It's really not been in general audience perspective. But Bitcoin can help shade or put some light into that shade.
Yeah, and you wonder if that'll help drive some assets, because if you look at the assets in these ETFs, BLOK, that has like, what, 110, 115 million. Mm-hmm. BLCN's a little over 100 mil. And then the First Trust Ledger, that's about 40 mil. And then the Innovation Shares COIN, that's about 12 mil. Not a lot. And it's interesting to me, like First Trust, they seem to be able to sell any ETF they launch. They're just a remarkable distribution machine. But even they can't get a ton of traction here. Now, they do have the worst performing blockchain ETF this year by far. But still, it's noteworthy because First Trust, it seems like everything they launch quickly has a ton of assets. So it'll be interesting to see if these can gain some traction, especially if Bitcoin and crypto continues to move upward. Drew, obviously, when these launched back in 2018, I do think one of the way these were viewed is as an alternative to Bitcoin ETFs, because Bitcoin ETFs obviously aren't approved yet. Do you have any thoughts on a Bitcoin ETF? Do you think we'll ever see one? Any timetable?
I think what we're going to see is, you know, a change in the SEC at some point. And it really comes down to the three voting members on the SEC approving it. And I think the last votes we've seen were 2-1. Whether or not we get a new administration in 2021 would certainly have some kind of influence on that. But I think the longer we wait, the sooner it will come, if that makes any sense. We're seeing price action in Bitcoin that is reasonable. We're seeing it trade heavily on the futures market. I think there's $1 billion a day that trades on SME Bitcoin futures. So it's legitimizing itself as it sustains itself. And we're not seeing huge wild price swings as much anymore. And frankly, that was a big concern by the SEC, was both liquidity and volatility.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I mean, Bitcoin, I checked yesterday, it's up over 60% year-to-date. I do think some investors are looking at it as a potential store of value with all the stimulus. Any thoughts on that or just the performance of Bitcoin overall?
I think it really is more of a commodity than it is a currency. Again, we haven't seen broad adaptation of companies using Bitcoin as a way to conduct transactions. But we're also seeing a younger crowd buying Bitcoin, where the older crowd is buying gold. There was a good story, I believe, on Bloomberg that talked about the cohort generational gap, where they're both seeing a store of value, as you said, but in a different vehicle. And Bitcoin is more natural to the millennials, to the Robinhood folks, than the idea of owning a piece of paper that says there's gold somewhere in a vault in London for you. So I think it is the ability for Bitcoin to hang around, and I think if we will see a Bitcoin ETF, I would say within 5 years.
Well, I wonder if some of those older investors who are owning gold are looking jealously or enviously at the younger investors who own Bitcoin, because I look at gold. Gold's had a great year. That's up about 30%, but again, Bitcoin up 60%. Drew, you mentioned the piece of paper stored in a vault in London. I have to ask you before I let you go, did you see this ridiculous Zero Hedge piece over the weekend that claimed gold ETFs don't actually own the gold? I don't know how many times we have to shoot down this conspiracy theory.
Well, the gold crowd loves it, so it's pandering to the crowd. And every time gold starts making a run up, you know, there is a certain amount of people in the media that like to pretend that gold doesn't exist in these vaults, that this is all a big scam. And with $77 billion in GLD alone, this is not something that's on the slide at all. Each piece of gold is documented. There is a tracked way to audit the gold in each gold fund. And these always come up. And again, the gold bug crowd always wants to shoot down the idea of paper gold, that you need to have a big brick bar in your closet, or you need to have gold coins, which frankly is not the efficient way to own gold. There's a lot of cost and carry withholding physical gold. And as we've seen over the last year, GLD, for instance, and AIU, the other gold fund, is taking in a tremendous amount of money. So the public believes that there's gold behind their investment, or they wouldn't be pouring such amount of money into it.
Well, I always say, look, gold can be a valuable asset in a portfolio. It's uncorrelated, and if you look historically, it can add to risk-adjusted returns. But if it all goes down, if we get hit by a nuclear bomb, your gold bars and coins in the basement probably aren't going to do you a whole lot of good, right? You're going to need canned goods and firearms and everything else. I don't know that the gold's going to get you anywhere.
Well, and it's very difficult to sell gold, physical gold.
Right.
You have to take it somewhere. Whereas on an exchange, you can one click of a mouse and you've bought and sold your gold. Otherwise, you're lugging around a gold bar. You need it to be... you can't just go in and sell it to the bank. It needs to be tested for its purity, and same with coins. So, yes, it's a store of value, but how you can liquidate them and how quickly, you can go with an exchange-traded product a lot faster to get your money back or to get into gold.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say on the physical gold ETFs, I always look at, you know, where are investors putting their money? And investors don't always get it right. But a financial marketplace where there's $80 billion in something like GLD, people believe the gold is there. They're smart institutional investors who have kicked the tires on this thing. If they thought there was any chance the gold didn't exist, they wouldn't invest in this product, which, by the way, tracks the price of gold nearly perfectly, right? And so you have to look at where people are putting their money. And I wonder if we ever do get a Bitcoin ETF, are we going to have like the Bitcoin conspiracy theorists come out that say that ETF doesn't actually own the crypto, right? And it's going to be a mess. But Drew, I'm going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate the time. Fun chat this week. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Nate, for having me.
That was ETF.com's Drew Voros.